The Beatles sing, "Hold me, love me, hold me, love me. Ain't got nothing but love, babe, 8 days a week." Shakespeare wrote, "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? For thou art more lovely and more temperate." Nietzsche wrote, "There is always some madness in love, but there is always some reason in madness." And then there's Paul, and his writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's referred to as the love chapter, and perhaps for good reason. Paul writes expressively about love, naming its virtues and naming those things that love is not. He places it with faith and hope and proclaims that love is the greatest of these. The passage from 1 Corinthians 13 is read at countless weddings. And why wouldn't you? The passage is simply beautiful. But some context is required. So first, let's back up one verse. We read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, the verse immediately before what Adam read for us this morning. We will find the following written: "And yet I will show you the most excellent way." I will show you the most excellent way. This is how Paul sets up his discourse on love, with a desire to show you the most excellent way. And what we need to realize is that Paul has just finished writing about division and a desire for unity. He's done this in the passage we read it last week, wrapped in the language of the body, about how the eye, ear, hand, and foot, how the whole body must function together. No part can function fully on its own. "So let me show you a most excellent way," Paul writes. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth isn't to teach them about love. It's to teach them about God and about God's love for them. And in a desire to encourage that church in Corinth to come together. Because the church in Corinth is undergoing some growing pains. They are bickering and they are fighting with one another. They can't agree about who gets to belong, who gets to be a member. Is one person's baptism better than another person's baptism? They can't agree about who should lead the church, and the members are raising lawsuits against one another. There's a general lack of harmony amongst them. If you were to translate some of their disagreements to our own context today, we might ask, is a baptism from Reverend Ferris better than a baptism from Reverend Jack? Should we leave the crust on or off the sandwiches? What color should the flowers in the sanctuary be? Should we use lit candles or should we replace them with battery-operated ones? What temperature should the sanctuary be on Sunday morning? Organ music or a praise band? I say almost all of those things in jest. But the thing that they hold in common with the church in Corinth is that nothing about them is centered on God. The focus has shifted and wavered. The members of the church in Corinth were focused on themselves instead of focusing on God. And when we fight and when we disagree, we forget that our focus should also be on God. And yet Paul writes, "I will show you the most excellent way." Love, Paul suggests, is the answer. And not necessarily love for one another, and certainly not necessarily love between partners and married partners and couples, though that is important. Paul suggests that we need to focus on God's love for us, how pure that love that God has for us is. It's a passage to remind us of how God has loved us. And this passage asks us how we as the church go out into the world and then do works of love. So that's what we're called to do. We're reminded of words in John's gospel, "For God so loved the world. And God does indeed love the world. And God loves each and every one of us. And God desires harmony amongst us so that we can go out into the world and do works of love. Paul describes love as concrete actions, and love comes with action verbs. 7 of the verbs Paul lists deal with what love is, and 8 of them deal with what love is not. Love is patient, kind, rejoicing in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And love is not envious, boastful, proud, rude. It does not dishonor. It is not self-seeking or angered. It keeps no record of wrongs." Remember, this passage is rooted in conflict. Paul is writing to a community that is divided and arguing amongst itself. And Paul is trying through this letter to find harmony. We are encouraged through Paul's writing to follow the way of love. Verse after verse, we are reminded that while love is a gift from God, it's also a gift that God invites God's adopted sons and daughters to cultivate and share. Today is Presbyterian World Service and Development Sunday, PWS&D, a day when we celebrate and promote the Relief and Development Agency of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. And through our giving to Presbyterian World Service and Development, that agency is able to go out into the world and to do works of love on our behalf. PWS&D has programs in 10 different countries around the world, working with partner agencies to deliver the best help and assistance it can. And it responds to emergencies around the world to help provide immediate assistance in the form of food, shelter, and medical attention. And then it goes further and helps provide emotional support and long-term rehabilitation for those most affected by disaster. As part of the Presbyterian Church in Canada, we support the work of PWS&D. We acknowledge the love which God has gifted us, and PWS&D is one way that we cultivate and share that love with others. We do this because we are moved by our faith to help others, just as Jesus helped others. We do this because we have hope in the kingdom of God. We want justice and an equitable life for all people. And we do it for love, which is the greatest of these. Thanks be to God. Amen.